Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Manchester City away to Arsenal after Gabriel Jesus scored more goals. Palace play Brighton in that strange derby, and Chelsea are through. You're through to the Champions League knockout.
You bit off more than you could chew, though.
Yeah. Okay. James, yeah. Or Jim, as he's called here, made a rude sign that put me off.
Yeah.
So for some reason, I started talking more.
Oh, so that's my fault, is it?
Correct, yeah. Jim. Yeah, thanks for apologising.
Trying to bring this country together, and you're trying to divide us.
Well, of course.
It's Friday. The Conservatives, Labour, Lib Dems, Christian Alliance, Mothra are in. I'm going to delete them as appropriate.
Yeah. Greens?
Yeah. Greens.
No, you're right.
Probably, there'll probably be a coalition between all of them.
The Greens go behind Mothra. Like, that is the worst opinion poll you can get, yeah. I think.
I thought I'd vote for a big wasp.
What chance do you think we've got? Well, have you seen Godzilla versus Mothra? The chances of that happening are more likely than you.
That said, House of Commons is right next to the water. That's all I'm saying.
It's true. Could happen. So they probably guarded against it, I expect.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
You would.
We have Godzilla defences in the nation's capital?
Well, Peter.
Does the Thames barrier prevent Godzilla?
Get Godzilla up here and we'll find out.
Pete's been talking a lot about the Thames barrier recently.
Have you?
He visited it.
I did, yeah.
It's all right, isn't it?
It's the first time I've ever been there. It's a hell of a construction.
It is. Yeah.
It's an amazing feat of engineering. Mm. I think we can agree.
We can agree.
Yeah. I took a woman from Darfur up there.
Yeah.
It was a very weird day.
Yeah.
You know.
This is not another one where you just sort of came to and things were happening.
Yeah. There was no reason for it.
I'm at the Thames barrier with a woman from Darfur.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Did you point it in and sort of go, Saddam?
I've rescued you there because I found that genuinely funny. The other two were gutted.
I always play to part of the crowd.
Yeah.
Just got to find out who's on my level.
Yeah.
Well done, Luke Moyes. Of course, at the time of recording, we don't know who the government is. So if it's a depressing day, then sorry about that. But we're here to cheer you up.
And here's hoping the river is on the level.
Yes, indeed.
Let's hope the Thames Barrier has not burst and flooded London.
No, because it'll be an edit job. It really will.
Will our service still exist?
Yeah.
Well, of course, we go straight to football, which is what we really should be talking about on this show. Gabriel Jesus has been in fine form for Manchester City as he wears the number 9 on the back of his jersey, because Aguero's been injured for a little while, as he often is in parts of the season. And you can forget how good Gabriel Jesus is, can't you?
Yeah, you can, and also how young he is. And I'm enjoying his facial hair. He's got a sort of Lou Bega feel.
It has! Yeah. That's a great shout. Yeah. He's got a big bit of Lou Bega about him.
Just in general, yeah.
Lou Bega was very, very young when he made Mambo number 5.
Yes. He's still quite young.
I think he might have been
in his
late
20s,
teens, maybe, when he made Mambo number 5. But I think it's not only that you forget how good Gabriel Jesus is, you kind of forget that he's there.
Yeah.
I know this will be, and I'm sure there are no Man City fans out there with a chip on their shoulder, but if there are, say, in theory, they might think, what are you guys talking about? Gabriel Jesus played all these games and we don't watch Man City as close as you guys do. For me, you think the classic Man City team, you think Aguero up top.
Of course, yeah.
And then Jesus, for some reason that I've seen, doesn't seem to moan too much. Happy to do what he does.
Yeah.
Gets involved. Looked brilliant against Dinamo Zagreb. A couple of the goals, at least, were magnificent goals.
Yeah, but the goals he scored against Burnley away the other week as well were gorgeous.
I was on a plane, bruv, so I didn't see that live. So it's not stuck in my mind as well. But he's been a fantastic player. And as you rightly said, he's got a lot of a career in front of him as well.
What was he, 17 when he came over?
I think he was. He's 22 now.
Did he do the collaboration with Scatman John? Oh, that's Lou Bega again. Sorry.
Yeah.
Hatman and Scatman.
Would you love Gabriel Jesus to release a tribute to Mambo number 5?
Yes, I would.
Good.
And I'd like to change his number to number 5.
Number nine.
Whatever you're about to say, I think we're all on board with.
Well, it depends, doesn't it?
Maybe he was. No, trust him. Maybe he was here. What he did, he was certainly a teenager when he came over.
Mm.
So he was very young. And of course, change of footballing style, change of culture, etc. and so on. I think his mum and his brother came over with him, moved with him, which is quite. Mm. Obviously, it depends on family dynamics and all sorts of things, but just on that little piece of information we have, it's obviously helped him settle quite a bit. And Guardiola, as we know, sometimes he likes to blood players in quite slowly, Phil Foden being a good example. Mm. But Jesus has played a bit more football, and he started very, very well, of course, at Manchester City. He made it sort of an immediate impact, from my recollection. And Aguero's not going to last forever.
People said when Guardiola came in that that would be the end of Aguero.
Of course. Now, Aguero is obviously a phenomenal player, but Jesus, I think Guardiola would have said, look, you know, you're making good money. You know, you're a part of this side. You're going to play football. Aguero's often out injured.
Sounds like the chase. You've got the money.
Yeah. We've played so many cup competitions. We're winning trophies, et cetera, et cetera. But in a few years' time...
A little bit of Monaco.
Exactly.
A little bit of Monaco.
I was about to say, perhaps, Jim, with the wages, but unconfirmed. But you will play, and you will, in a few years' time, I reckon he's blooding him to be the starting centre forward. 100%. Man City when Aguero moves on, of course.
Definitely. He's got 10 goals in 21 appearances this season. So that's, you know, just about one in two, which is the sort of numbers Aguero's generally posted. So it very much feels like he's always been primed to sort of take on the crown, hasn't he, afterwards? And he's very likeable as well.
He is very likeable, because by Sunday evening, it'll probably be about 13 and 22.
Yes.
Because they're away to Arsenal.
Indeed, I know. I don't appreciate your lack of support.
He's going to bash you up, bruv.
Possibly, yes.
I mean, they were great. Obviously, Man City are through to the next round of the Champions League. Arsenal.
Rodri still has a face somehow. Oh my goodness! Well. See that elbow?
That was
absolutely
shocking.
Staggering.
Yeah, I don't know how they got.
There's
away
no VAR investigation into that.
No.
So VAR can basically involve itself in the finest minutiae of whether a goal is scored or not, or
if it touched his fingernail or something.
Yeah, but if someone gets that happening to them, there's nothing. There's no come up.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Sorry, Marcus. I was just going to say on the Arsenal front, people would have heard that we chatted a bit about Ancelotti and his credentials for the Arsenal job yesterday, because if reports at the time recording are to be believed, he's keen on the move back to England. And the guys were saying that we're not sure that Arsenal is the right fit for Ancelotti at this point. Yeah. But I can't. I was sort of quite impressed with the way Arsenal battled back on Monday against West Ham, because as soon as they went a goal down away from home, I know West Ham aren't brilliant. But you sort of feel, I feared for them, you know. I thought, well, this is going to be another nightmare. They might get a goal back and then they'll get beaten like they did against Brighton. Mm-hmm. They turned it around, to be fair to them, but I still can't. There's something about Freddie Ljungberg that doesn't convince me at all.
Yeah, I think Ljungberg is known to be quite a sort of quiet, reserved character. And I wonder if that is the sort of leadership quality that, you know, obviously I know different personalities are suited to different groups of people and different jobs, but I think I don't know if Ljungberg is a serious candidate to actually sort of take over long term, because I think he's too inexperienced for a job of this magnitude at the moment, because Arsenal are in the biggest transitional period they've been in my lifetime, and that's being kind, even referring to it as a transitional period, I think. So this needs a steady pair of hands, I think. And I think I'd be happy with Ancelotti personally. I was hoping he would
What type of personality would you want there?
Well, Ancelotti is not going to take any crap, is he? He's going to sort things out.
Isn't he renowned for taking a lot of crap?
I was about to say, I think in the last few years, he's
mellowed a bit, hasn't he?
Yeah, the people often say it's a bit too relaxed. That doesn't mean to say he takes crap, so fair enough, but he's not going to be Paolo Di Canio-esque.
Yeah, quite.
I feel like that someone needs to come in there and say, and I mentioned this a bit yesterday, but in the context of kind of English football, go in there and say, right, this, from the fan culture to the players' culture to the club culture, is rotten.
Yeah.
It is rotten.
Yeah.
And someone's got to come in and say, I will take responsibility top to bottom in sorting this out and creating it in my own image. And I think it needs, at this stage of his career, Ancelotti, was he 60 now? Mm-hmm. He's, as I keep referring to it, but as James and Andy were saying yesterday, he's someone who comes in and he can preserve the status quo. Look what he did at Chelsea. Mm. You know, they had a great team, great squad, big characters. And he's a player whisperer. He'll get that Chelsea team to win the double, because that's what he does.
Yes.
With that set of players they've got and the club being in that state, I'm not offering any alternatives here. I understand that.
Diego Simeone.
I'm offering Diego Simeone.
Yeah.
Look, that's what I'm offering. The classic yellow and, is it blue, away kit has been re-released.
The bruised banana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we all got excited about a kit in the summer, so let's try it at Christmas. I think you're right, Luke, and I think this is what's really important, that these players are underperforming. Everything about the club is underperforming at the moment. And this is obviously taking the West Ham game out of it, because it was like the floodgates opening, and there's huge relief in that sort of 10-minute period where Arsenal scored three goals. But it's a huge, huge job, and it needs someone that can steady the ship for a time, because
I was really sad for Kieran Tierney.
Yes, he's out for 3 months with his dislocated shoulder, which is, he's just getting a run in the team together. It was looking pretty good, like just getting up to speed, and now it's Mad Sayad for the next 3 months. You would imagine maybe we'll sign someone in January. I don't know. But during the Brighton game, apparently at half time, when Arsenal were truly, truly dire, apparently Freddie Ljungberg said at half time, "This is not Arsenal," and that is exactly right. That is exactly the attitude that I think that needs to come from management and from all of the staff, whoever they are. And it's just absurd at the moment.
Did he say anything else?
No,
he was like
played very reserved.
They were like, "No, we're at West Ham."
Yeah. And he'd gone into the wrong dressing room.
Enjoy.
But still, you take the positives where you can.
Like when Big Ron sat in the wrong bench.
This is not Arsenal.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. The worst thing he ever did.
Yeah. When did we sign Mark Noble?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, Luke Moore has described the situation as rotten. That's when you know it's hit rock bottom. And you're absolutely right.
I'll tell you what.
I've got so much tears in my eyes for you guys.
I've got my detractors, but if I know when something's rotten. Listen, if there's anything I'm an expert on.
You've got a nose for rotten football.
Right. I have.
A rotter knows rotten.
Yeah.
It's like a football fox.
I'm a little rotter.
You are rotter.
Pete, am I the biggest rotter you know?
Mate, you can see our rottenness from space.
So on the West Ham game, Ljungberg also said that you have to relax, dare to be football players, be brave. They let that handbrake go and all of a sudden they played really good football. And that's obviously very sort of Wenger-esque. You can see how he's learned under Wenger's tutelage. But that has been something that under Emery was really, really lacking. The team seemed to lack ideas and also just sort of application and their own invention.
He said, take the break off. Because we don't have any sort of defence. Yeah. So the only way we're going to win any football matches is by being swashbuckling.
They've gone out. It kind of worked for Salzburg.
Oh, they're a tough group, so... Yeah,
I just think Arsenal are just a bunch of... At the moment, they're a bunch of excuse-making idiots.
Yeah.
And they should take responsibility.
Do you think Man City are going to hammer them?
The thing is, I'm not convinced that. I mean, this is not a hugely controversial thing to say, I suppose, but I'm not that convinced by Man City at the moment either.
Yeah, but I mean, they're still. I understand they've not been as superb as they were last season, but if it wasn't for Liverpool's ridiculous season, they'd still be in there.
Well, to put it this way, it's a big ask, but if Arsenal play against Man City, like they did for the second half against West Ham, I think Man City can be got out. And we talked about that when they played Man United.
Oh, yes.
If you're brave enough to go at them and bypass them and hit them hard, they're vulnerable at the back.
They are. And also, Arsenal.
They're kind of like the Death Star.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got this huge weakness.
Get them in the duct.
The goal. Yeah. but yeah, Arsenal conceded the first goal in the last five games in the Premier League. And it's becoming really frustrating. So if they can put that right. Actually, a lot of fans will be going, "Oh, God, this is a terrible time to play Man City." I'm actually pretty happy that we've got this game coming up now because. It's a big test. You have to step up in a game like
because
this.
Because it
got
can't
no
get any better. It just can't.
Let's move on then. Tottenham Hotspur lost 3-1 in Munich. Of course, they were away to Bayern in the Champions League this week. Spurs have gone through. They lost two games in the group, both to Bayern. One obviously spectacularly at home and then lost 3-1 away. I mean, losing away to Bayern is not a shocker. And Spurs couldn't catch them anyway. It was nice to see Ryan Sessegnon start and score a blistering...
Almost forgot he was there.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I think it was his first start.
It was.
Yeah.
It's interesting for Mourinho, that. And this is what I think one of the things that we forget about him in his early days is that he does... really show faith in players sometimes, be it Ryan Sessegnon or be it a ball boy, you know,
Scott McDominay.
Exactly that, yeah. And that's actually, in this case, it seems to be a positive. And I think Spurs have probably got a lot of that to look forward to in the short term, at least. It remains to be seen whether he'll, you know, settle as he hasn't done before. But I mean, yeah, this was always a tough ask, wasn't it, to beat Bayern? And I'm really intrigued by how the game with Wolves is going to go as well, because Wolves are in a really good place. They're on an 11-match unbeaten run.
They've ghosted in, haven't they?
Yeah,
they have.
And obviously Spurs in the league look really like just transformed under Mourinho. So this could be quite the ding-dong.
It was quite the play by Mourinho, because the rumours going into that game against Bayern were that he had taken a lot of young players. Mm. They travelled with a lot of young players and he was probably going to give them a game, and he ended up giving Sessegnon and Juan Foyth and Carl Walker-Peters starts, I think. And Oliver Skip featured. But a couple of the other players that were mentioned didn't come off the bench. Of course, he's given them experience. They're travelling away. I get all that. But it's a bit of a gamble because, as you said, Marcus, it's kind of an irrelevant game.
Mm-hmm.
And Wolves are in great form. And Spurs have had... you would think they would get such great momentum from that massive win against Burnley where they looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. You wonder whether it's worth risking kind of playing all those players on a difficult away game. Because I know that it's... to all intents and purposes, like a dead rubber. But you are still playing Bayern Munich away. Mm. And psychologically, that's quite a big game, given what happened in the last game. So his thinking kind of confused me a bit. So we'll see what happens with him against Wolves.
I sort of get it, actually. I would say that you beat Burnley in the league. He knows it's not really worth contending that one against Bayern. So give it to the youngsters. And also the youngsters being able to say they played away in Bayern for a big Champions League game, you know, in appearance. Any young player wants a start, and especially if you're putting them in against a big side like that, I think they would be quite encouraged that Mourinho would do that, because it's a safe one to play them in. And then say to the senior players, right, some of you will have a rest.
No, but I think my point, surely, so I wasn't making myself clear. My point is that he didn't play as many of them as I thought he would.
But many of the young players?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, again, though, they've been beaten 7-2 at home, so yeah. you don't want to be...
The danger is that you scar them for life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I found it interesting that he chucked Eriksen in there.
Yeah.
Because he seems to be committed to not playing him.
Indeed. Well, is that a message? Is he sending a message to Eriksen?
Saying you can play in dead rubbers away from home that are really inconvenient for you personally. Yeah. If that is the message, then I'm all for it.
Indeed, yeah. But you're right, when you mentioned Wolves earlier, Luke, Wolves at the start of the season, they were hanging around in the bottom half of the table, and
like hanging around,
yeah,
like naughty kids smoking by the bins at school,
waiting like a big pack of wolves to pounce. And then they've ghosted up the table, as you say, and they're sitting in there now. And there's a lot of teams in and around that. There's only one team in fifth place. There's a lot of teams below that, of course, and the points are quite tight from sort of what is it, 11th or 12th to fifth, something like that. But Wolves are in there, and they're, you know, scoring goals. They're looking good, and they are balancing out the Europa League quite nicely. Time of recording, we don't know what their result was in the Europa League on the Thursday, but they're looking impressive.
And they're already through anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So they're looking good, aren't they? The way that Santo has balanced that side with Europa League and so on and so forth. I mean, Wolves really are, when into the new year, would want to put the burners on and say, right, let's claim that fifth place. Let's finish above Manchester.
I think they should be aiming for fourth.
Well,
I said at the start of the season, Leicester should be aiming for third, yes. Right? And they've essentially solidified that, at least, you think. I don't see why Wolves should be afraid of those other teams around that area.
Well, I suppose the point I was thinking was that if Wolves can finish, but anyway, they haven't been in the league that long. I know they've made some big signings and all, but still, if they can finish a season and go, this season we finished above, say, Spurs, Arsenal and Manchester United. Now, I know you can say that those teams, who knows, there's still a lot of football to play, of course, but I'm just saying,
no,
hypothetically, if they can finish the season and say, look at the teams we finished above, what a flipping encouragement that is.
As well as having all the extra games involved in the Europa League.
Absolutely. And it shows you the size of the squad there, how he rotates, you know, how he uses them as well. Mm. And they've got goals in there.
Yes, they have.
And they've got assists from Jimenez.
Well, I know, annoying. Raúl Jiménez will occasionally score the second goal in a game, but they've also got a coherent plan. Yes. And we talked about this last season, but they've set out what they want to achieve, and they've done it in a way that perhaps, you know, you take Fulham, for example, last year, just chuck a lot of money at it and it didn't work. Now, there could probably be other reasons for that, but Wolves, it just feels coherent. Mm-hmm. And I also think Wolves are in a great position because they're a big club, but they're not a superstar big club.
No. Mm.
So the attention is not going to be on them as much as perhaps some other teams. There's no way some of those teams in the Premier League could do what we've said with Wolves have done and ghost up there.
No.
If Spurs or Arsenal or Chelsea put together an 11 game unbeaten run in the Premier League, you generally know about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the talk is they're in brilliant form. Yeah. With Wolves, they're not a team that people talk about an awful lot, and so they're able to do that, and they could use that to their advantage as well.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, so Wolves v Spurs is an interesting one.
Can I know we've got to do emails, but do you mind if I just jump in here, because there's not a natural place for me to do it, and say that I wanted to give a mention to the great Jim Smith, who passed away this week.
Yeah.
Hugely popular figure. I believe he had a long illness and very sad, as a Portsmouth fan, to see him sadly pass away. I think he was 79. Gave some great memories to people down there in Portsmouth. Of course, he was a Newcastle United manager as well. Tremendously popular figure.
Just well liked.
Yeah, and when Portsmouth were in that kind of run where they went up to the Premier League,
Harry and Jim.
Yeah, that's a testament to him. It wasn't all the songs used to be sung at Fratton Park. Harry and Jim, because they loved him as an assistant manager as much as they loved Harry Redknapp as well. And I think I was just very sad to see it. It was a really, really, really upsetting moment to see him gone.
Yeah, no, that's
fly the bald eagle.
He He was a manager at Portsmouth in the early 90s as well when they got to the semi-final of the FA Cup and all the rest of it. So his legendary status down there is assured, as I'm sure it is at places like Oxford and Newcastle as well.
He walked out on Newcastle because of the chairman and the power struggle that was happening in the board, which obviously I endorse. Making great decisions back in the day.
He was ahead of his time.
Yeah, exactly.
Indeed, indeed. All right, now it's time for emails with PTD.
Well done, George Crotty, my favourite named emailer of the week.
And that's the email section, Marcus.
Crop bags.
Hello, lads. Thought I'd bring your attention to the West Brom equaliser against Wigan this week, as it's the kind of goal I know you all enjoy. An indirect free kick from in the box.
The big crot.
Conceded in a true football bloopers DVD way. Wigan left back under absolutely zero pressure, turns and rolls it back to the keeper, who happens to be having a drink, stood in the goal looking the other way.
Amazing. Yeah. Love it.
He turns around at the last minute as his defenders scream at him, and he's got loads of time to just clear it away. Instead, he calmly picks it up and looks bewildered as the ref blows up.
Love it.
And then a goal was scored. Well,
have you forgotten you're playing in a football match?
Appreciate that. Lovely goal from Santa's Crotty.
That used to happen when you played like on the school field at lunchtime. Right. Someone would be in goal. They didn't want to be in goal or whatever, but you have to take your turn.
Yeah.
They'd be chatting to like a girl.
Yeah.
Take it serious.
Sat on a pile of bags that was also a goalpost.
Yep.
Putting a lot of jeopardy.
Some of the goalposts would be 5-6 bags wide.
Massive.
And they'd have those. Did you ever have one of the schools that was that the yard was quite close to the actual building itself, so you could only play with those sponge balls, heavy sponge balls, and when they got wet they would just like it's a sponge, so they would just get heavier and heavier and heavier.
Or a tennis ball on a concrete playground.
We never had that
at junior school. We were only allowed to play with sponge ball. Then when we got to big school, we could play with the proper ball.
It's big school. Hello to Ross Brownell. He's going to go and watch Keggy, his live speaking show thing, and he wants to know what to ask him.
Oh. Careful.
Help me, dads. I mean, ramble, he says.
Help me, dads.
Ask him anything. Just ask him what he's going to be doing at Christmas.
Maybe should we put this to the listeners?
Ask him if he wants to go to Pete's house for Christmas. Now his mum's roast potatoes.
Lovely.
Pete's courtyard.
Ask him about
sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah. Ask him about the combine harvester.
Yeah.
What's a combine? Oh, it's combine.
It's a tractor, actually.
Oh, was it a tractor?
Yeah.
We should tell the story for the listeners.
No,
right?
If you don't come to the live shows, you miss out on that.
You can fuck off. The tractor story about Keegan, which I found when I was researching the Kevin Keegan section for the live shows, in which someone won a Kevin Keegan signed football shirt. We were playing to the choir. Is that when he played in the 60s for someone, I forget who it was, there was a farm at the side of the training pitch, and they became quite friendly with the farmer. And he said, if you want, I mean, this is like the late 60s, I think. Yeah. So like, you know, it was proper like boys own stuff. It wasn't like they weren't all on Snapchat. You know, there was no Snapchat. So anyway, they were excited by the idea of being able to drive this tractor.
So they put the blackberries down.
And the farmer, punnet of blackberries. The farmer said, you can all have a drive of it if you want. And so they took it in turns to drive around the farmer's field in this tractor, and it was lots of fun. And then when it came to be Kevin Keegan's turn, he drove it in a ridiculously irresponsible way, presumably by accident. It broke. He overheated the engine. The whole thing just essentially collapsed, involving the total tractor being entirely like a complete write-off.
The farmer learned his lesson.
Yeah.
The farmer learned his lesson. Yeah.
The farmer wants
cleared.
A wife. The farmer wants a wife tractor. And a new tractor. Yeah.
Yeah. So ask him about that.
Exactly. Ask him about that.
If he replaced the tractor. He should have done later on, I feel.
Hello to Alex. You've probably already been sent this quite a few times. We really have. But can we please talk about Jonjo Shelby calling out Pete_69 when talking about the abuse he gets on Twitter, an account which is unmistakably one of Peter's alternative accounts.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You've been up too old.
So basically, Shelby's talking about, like, what is Pete_69? Why he chose that one?
Which would be your login?
Massively.
So he's just made
what does
that
he
up.
Know,
it's a satirical.
Yeah, he's made that up. So I said, what does he know about football? But then he also goes on to say, my dad is the first person I speak to after a match, and sometimes he can be quite critical. But what does he know about football? He's never played professional. So no one has an opinion then.
Yeah.
No one gets an opinion, Jonj.
No.
Is he slagging him off, is he?
Yeah.
He's slagging Pete_69 off.
Yeah. I've never been a plumber, so therefore I will not have an opinion
if water's flooding out my
pipe.
I want you to shut up and wait for a professional.
Plumbing's just
sounds like you need a urologist.
Yeah.
It'd be confusing, wouldn't it? When would you call them? Yeah. You sort of call them and go, by the way, I'm up to my knees in
but
water.
But I am not qualified to comment.
Yeah. I just wondered if this was a problem.
Yeah.
Because the way I'm going, I'm going to get trench foot.
What you'd have to do is call everyone every day.
if it goes over the plugs, I've got to call an electrician as well.
Yeah, exactly. Which again, I'm not qualified to do.
I'm being electrocuted.
Yeah. Yeah. Or are you giving an opinion?
Yeah.
Are you saying you might get electrocuted because the electrician hasn't said that you would?
It reminds me of the time when I accidentally cut my hand off, but I wasn't qualified to know whether it was an injury or not. So I didn't call the doctor.
Yeah. Stay in your lane.
I had to speak to an ex-doctor to find out.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay in your lane.
Oh, yeah.
Do not talk about politics unless you're a politician.
But you're saying stay in your lane. You're not a Formula One driver, mate.
Oh, shit. I can't even drive.
So be quiet, okay?
Stay in your lane, by Keegan.
Sorry, Marcus. You're not a town crier. So, so why don't you stay quiet?
No, I am, Jim.
I like the idea that also if you have any kind of profile, however small it is, as ours undoubtedly are, you are automatically exempt from having any opinion about politics.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be funny, mate. But you
stick to that.
Yeah, don't talk about politics.
Can we keep politics out of everything that involves politics all the time?
Yeah, please.
All of the time.
Anyway, 5 young players were given the keys to an old tractor and were allowed to take it turns driving it around a field next to the training ground. On Keegan's turn, he crashed it, sending the axle through the tractor's engine and completely writing it off. That's the story.
Yeah. To be fair, though, he's not a farmer, so he shouldn't be.
How would he have known?
Badly designed tractor for the axle can possibly, if it goes over a bunk, go through the engine.
It was Scunthorpe in the 60s.
It's true.
The mind boggles.
Look, I don't work in advertising, but let's have a break. Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway.
Yes, we should mention the Patreon, patreon.com/footballrambledaily, to get involved with that. You get a chance. I think for just $5 a month, you can be a member of our Discord, which means you can chat with loads of fellow Ramblers and ourselves about lots of different subjects relating to football, relating to the show, relating to lots of other things. Video games. Pete's got a video games thread in there.
Politics.
You know? It's a dedicated
one. No,
we haven't got politics section, actually.
No, it's free from that.
Yeah, I don't think, based on what I've read on there so far, we necessarily should have a politics section. But patreon.com/footballrambledaily, there's lots of tiers for you to get involved in any way or whatever level you feel comfortable doing.
Liberal tiers.
You can do it in liberal tiers if you want. And that's the motherfucking tea.
Damn right. Talking of things, Jim, what about our award nomination?
Yeah, that's a thing. And we've been nominated for an award, doubling up on the things. If you want to vote for us in the Pod Bible Magazine Awards, you can go to podbiblemag.com and do that. And, you know, as we've said before, we've been nominated for things before and not really publicised them so much. So think of this as like when Scorsese won the Oscar for The Departed. It was really for Goodfellas and it was really for many other things.
Right.
Just get involved. Get your mum involved. You know,
get your mum involved.
Well, I will.
All right,
you get your mum involved.
All right,
you're not a mum, so you can qualify. You're not a mum yourself. Right. So.
Exactly.
You're not a genealogist.
I'm the most mum-like of all of us, actually. So I think in this context, I think I can have that.
So hang on. So if we were going to
clarify that,
I've got the most motherly aura of the four of us.
Hang on,
Uncle fresh out of prison. Anyone?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, But no, Pete, you're like someone's mate's older brother who's been in the army and in prison.
Yeah. And you're the sort of person who, when you get let out of prison, the guard says, "See you soon," and then laughs.
Yeah.
I'm never coming back. I'm back.
Yeah.
Anyway, vote for us in the Pod Bible Awards, podbiblemag.com.
Or Pete will or won't go to prison, depending on what you prefer.
Take it from Mother Campbell there.
Yeah.
Now, Chelsea beat Lille 2-1 in the Champions League. They're through to the knockouts. They are through to those knockouts. Matthew McConaughey was there to witness it. He was talking about Christian Pulisic.
He was, and I feel sorry for Christian Pulisic because since Chelsea's transfer ban was lifted ahead of January, all the talk's been about them want to sign Jadon Sancho. Yeah. Christian Pulisic, fucking leave me alone.
Yeah. I love McConaughey's accent.
That's great. Yeah,
absolutely gorgeous.
It's a drawl, isn't it? The epitome of a southern drawl.
I think he's from, I want to say Louisiana, I think. But there's an app, I'm not entirely clear on this, but I think it's called Calm, where it's like a mental health kind of mindfulness app.
And he does the voice.
Well, you can get people to read you bedtime stories on it.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them, I think one of them is read by Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, wow. Can you get a Roy Hodgson one?
That would be brilliant. I'd love that.
Little just night owl. A little Hodgson. Team talk.
The night owl. Call it the night owl, isn't that? Yeah, that'd be great. One
sheep, two sheep. Lived happily ever after.
That's quite good. Can you do a McConaughey? What's that?
The breathing from Wolf of Wall Street.
Do a McConaughey.
Ah, give, can I,
all
give
right,
me 5 minutes.
All right,
yeah, there you go. Pitch that.
Say, that's what
all
I
right,
like.
All right, all right.
No, that's what I like about college girls. I get older, but they stay the same age. That's a line of his.
Oh, I thought you suddenly were making a startling admission.
No. Either way, it's getting clipped.
Oh, McConaughey's from Texas, apparently.
Is he?
Yeah, there we go.
Ah, same thing. Yeah. Chelsea, let's get back to them. They finished second,
let's
of course.
Duck out of an impression and get back to Chelsea.
Yeah.
To be fair, Jim, normally I impose them on people, and yeah, I'm trying to withdraw now, so you should be very thankful for that. Mm. Valencia topped the group, of course, beating Ajax. That was a bit of a surprise. So Chelsea, they needed to win the game, of course, and they did. They could face Juventus, PSG, Barcelona, or Bayern in the draw, which is happening on Monday.
Yes,
but it was, you know, as we keep saying, Lampard's first stint as Chelsea manager, because he'll be back at some point, you would imagine, when he gets sacked from this. they're through, you know, they're through to the knockouts, and Ajax, you know, considering what they did last time to get ahead of them in the group, and Valencia have been in the competition for a while, you've got to put it down as successful. I know people will think, but if we'd have topped the group, you know, you'd potentially easier sides. But it's got to go down as
They've done
as
well.
A good campaign thus far, surely.
Yeah, it has. And they've done well because they concede, I mean, they just concede decent amounts of goals in the Champions League. So they've done well to push through in a group that is perhaps maybe a touch harder than people thought. I mean, Lille have been a bit of a busted flush. They didn't manage to win a single game, but Valencia have looked decent. Chelsea had that great game with Ajax, that 4-4.
Oh, my goodness.
So they're a bit of an entertaining side. So they might be that team that I thought Salzburg might end up being.
Yeah.
Where they're really attacking, but they can see goals and they go quite far. Uh-huh. Almost like Monaco did. Yeah, I'm not saying Chelsea was good at that Monaco team. But
they were great.
Yeah, but they were great to watch. Chelsea could end up being that. They're going to be hoping that they'll draw, I mean, because they can't get Valencia and they can't get
Man City
or Liverpool. So, I mean...
But who's it? It's
tough for them.
Red Bull Leipzig.
Like they can get Leipzig.
Leipzig would probably... I mean, even though Leipzig are a decent side, but you'd rather them than the likes of Juventus or Barcelona.
They've got a 1 in 5 chance of getting a winnable tie, is a way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to make an argument to say they'll get past the other teams. But we'll see. You never know. They're in the mix.
Luke Remy nearly came back to haunt them, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And he should have done as well. He had a really good chance to make that 2-2, didn't he? Just nice to see him in general, though.
Good old Loic.
Yeah, I liked him.
Were you going to mention about Nathan Ake?
I was,
in this game against Bournemouth? Because I don't know if you guys have read this, but I read yesterday, because obviously Chelsea have been linked with him, now they can sign players again, he's an ex-player.
Buyback for like 40 million or something.
Yeah, so they put into it, they sold him for 20, and they put a clause in there saying they can buy him back for double the money. So if they want to go and trigger it for 40 million, they can do that.
Yeah. Eddie Howe seems to have started a lot of speculation about Nathan Ake by worrying about speculation about Nathan Ake.
So he's kind of wished it into existence. Is Nathan Ake Eddie Howe's candy man?
he sort of said, didn't he, that he went, you know, this is just out of my control. And I was like, I mean, you can have an ounce of influence at least over this.
At least talk to the fella.
Yeah.
Ask him if he wants to stay.
he's on the injury table, on the physio table.
He's doing nothing else, is he?
Yeah. Well, bad injury, though. It's a shame for Ake. He's out injured. But yes, Howe, very concerned that bigger clubs may come in for him. Because Ake's, you know, he's having a good time at Bournemouth. He's a quality defender, and it's 24 now. You wouldn't be surprised.
It seems about right for him to move on soon, isn't it? And that weirdly is, that's really canny from Chelsea, because that looks cut price now, doesn't it? Especially, what was it they were asking for him from Leicester? And some, was it 75 million? Obviously to scare them off, knowing they had the Harry Maguire money, but still, that's how kind of crazy the market is. So I think it'd be very smart of Chelsea to do that. Like, obviously, if he's injured, that's not ideal. This is going to be an interesting one, because Bournemouth are in pretty terrible form, but Chelsea have also lost 3 of their last 4 games in the Premier League, so that they had that really good run, and now they've kind of wobbled a bit. They seem, they're a streaky team, it would seem, aren't
they? It's also worth mentioning, Jim, the fact that Bournemouth have got so many players out. I mean, they've got almost the whole team out injured, and Callum Wilson's also picked up an injury.
Joshua King's getting worse for them every day.
Joshua King seems to have this really serious hamstring injury. Every time you look at the regular kind of sources, you look at to find out when he's going to be back, it says no return date.
I'm a little bit worried for Bournemouth, actually. They've lost 5 in a row and they're 1 point above Southampton in 18th place. I just wonder, with these injuries, and if Ake went and so on, because Bournemouth, in sort of the previous seasons that we've talked about them, they've not really been in a relegation battle. You know, they sort of finish sort of fairly comfortably.
They flirted with it, yeah, but
yeah,
not too serious.
Not really. But I don't know. This season, you know, we're deep in December now. As I say, with the injuries, if they lost Ake maybe in January, although oddly the injury to Ake may help them, if you see what I mean, get to the end of the season with him, because if he's still injured in the January window, will
he'll
people
be less
go
attractive.
For him? Yeah, sure. So, I'm a bit concerned for old Bournemouth.
I've just looked this morning and Joshua King's actually being listed as now 50% that he might come back at the weekend.
Yeah, but would you risk him though? That's the thing. I mean,
you look at the Luton, they have got the worst form in the league.
Yeah, a lot of L's.
Just loads of L's.
A lot of L's.
Well, you'd put Chelsea down very much as favourites for that. Of course, Chelsea's transfer ban lifted for January. Lampard spoke of losing Hazard and said, you know, they've missed his creativity and his goals and so on. So you wonder if Chelsea are going to spend big in January.
Everyone, I don't think they will.
I think they'll
maybe have a little sprinkle, but I don't think they'll spend big.
I think it would make a defensive recruitment here and there.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I know obviously any side losing Hazard would be a big miss, but I was slightly surprised he said that because they have had goals elsewhere. Abraham's obviously come in. I know he's not in Hazard's position, but Pulisic is getting involved. You know, Willian is always there or thereabouts. Yeah. Obviously, Mount's played well and so on, but I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? Let's move on. On Monday night, you've got something there, Luke. Having a little
Sorry. You know Tom Wally, who edits our shows?
Yes.
I was flicking through to look at the running order and I went onto the Twitter page and he just tweeted, film idea, so many people write your mum on their ballot papers that legally someone's mum has to become prime minister. Set in the King Ralph multiverse.
Really?
It just made me laugh. Sorry, Marcus.
That's all right.
You did ask, though. It's my duty to be honest.
Can I give you a vault fast that may improve the podcast football-wise?
Yeah.
I was talking to my mate last night at a Christmas party.
Did you hear how surprised they were to hear that there? What? What's football-related?
No, my surprise was when he said he was talking to his mate.
I have
to be honest, I forgot he was there.
Hang on, was this at your work Christmas party?
Yeah.
So it's a colleague then?
That's why.
Clears up for you, Mark.
There we go.
That's why I sound like this, baby.
Yeah.
He reckons that because the mid to bottom of the table in the Premier League is a bit dirty at the moment, what they should do is you're allowed 10 draws and then after that you don't gain any points for draws.
That's a good idea.
It's a really good idea, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Because Wolves have drawn about 9 games. Yeah. So they'd be on the cusp.
Yeah, they'd have to go out and win matches.
Yeah. Marcus, on that, just quickly, mention, are Leicester still on the verge?
Of course.
Have you moved away from the precipice?
They haven't lost any ground on Liverpool.
True. Mm.
They are on the verge.
They're not on the running order this week.
Just firming up, if anything.
Are they on that bit of the verge that becomes a bit of a, is it camber? Kind of like a gradient down to the...
Not yet.
Right.
Not yet. Maybe into the new year.
They're at home to Norwich. You'd fancy them this weekend.
You would fancy them. Yeah. You would fancy them. Palace at home to Brighton. The strange derby is back. Brighton go very well under old Potter.
Yeah.
Old Potts is waving his wand. They scored 35 goals in total last season. And they've got 20 this season already. Morpay's got 6. So they scored a few more goals. Last season, they were pretty piss poor in front of goal. Currently 12th with 19 points. And he's just signed an extension, a two-year extension to his four-year deal. He already had another 4 years. So he signed an extension to 2025, which is how much faith.
Pardew-esque.
It is.
I think they're wanting to insure themselves because managers are dropping like flies at the moment. And Potter's not really ever done anything wrong.
No.
Yeah. So I think there's a chance he could be picked off.
He's not utter crap. Let's tie him down. But they're very impressed with him at Brighton. We haven't really sort of spoken about him or Brighton too much.
Jules does it every week, that's why.
I was going to say, she sort of picks up the slack.
Yeah.
But they're doing well. They're sort of playing in sort of more possession-based style.
Yeah, does he deserve a lot of credit, Marcus, for turning them from a Chris Hughton-type team to a team that actually aren't afraid to go out and try and win games?
Very much so. I mean,
and that's not a dig at Chris, because he did a brilliant job.
No, if I may dive in ahead of your answer there, Marcus, I think the really most impressive thing about the way he's got Brighton playing is for the first time, you can truly say that they look at home in the Premier League.
Yes.
Yeah, until now, it's always been they've been scrapping and they've been hanging on, and it's been about playing to the absolute top limit of what they've got in the squad. But now they just look very, very comfortable, and I think we're yet to see what level Potter can take them to.
I think that's well said, Jim.
I know they've got Spurs over the Christmas period. I think it's Boxing Day they're going to be playing them, but they've got like Palace, Sheffield United, Bournemouth. I mean, that's eminently, all of us matches are eminently winnable.
Well, but yeah, way, Palace obviously is one that they'll very much want to win.
Yeah. It's a really good time to see this game, actually, because, you know, Palace are in it in pretty good form as well.
Yeah, they're 10th.
And so, again, it's a potentially really, really good game, especially with how much baffling passion is involved in this fixture.
Yeah. Passion. I mean, I know I say Brighton.
Sounds like a new romantic band.
Brighton have scored 20 goals this season, which is not an enormous amount. It's not terrible, but comparing them to last season is what I'm doing there. Whereas Palace in 10th have only Watford have scored fewer goals this season than Palace. I think they've only scored 14. However, only Sheffield United, Leicester, and Liverpool have conceded fewer. So Palace is obviously all about tight defence and so on. So hopefully this will be the game where the form book goes out the window and they just go crazy and fill their boots.
It's a Monday night treat. Because it is interesting, based on what you said there, Marcus, to know how Crystal Palace are going to approach this, because they've been traditionally this season good away from home. They can set up in a way that they almost seem to think away from home, no one expects us to get anything here. Yeah. So anything we do get is a bonus, and it's kind of like having a relaxing effect on them, and they go out there and they do it at home in a derby game against a team who does like to keep the ball. You wonder if they can play in that way and be successful, but will their fans let them do that? Let them be kind of reactive and let the game happen to them at home to their biggest rivals? It's hard to say.
Yeah, very much so. Like Newcastle, they're only 2 points off Manchester United in 5th and 7 off Chelsea in 4th. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now obviously when they get to Monday, those stats may be slightly different.
It's a strange season where it feels like not just anyone, but that everyone could finish in the top 4.
Yeah,
there'll be 20 teams in the Champions League next season.
I'll stick my neck out here. Mm-hmm. I said I don't think Newcastle are going to finish in the top 4. And I've got one person.
Do you know what though? If they can,
you got a friend in me, Lukey.
Yeah.
If they can, you would have to actually go a bit further and say Bruce has done a pretty good job. Mm. But that's only if they can. At the moment, he's doing an all right job.
Newcastle got a mensch on the continent yesterday, Pete.
Holy
I know you wouldn't
moly.
Have a chance to listen to it yet because we're recording this straight after. Because Atalanta went through in the Champions League group stage.
Oh, and they lost the first three.
And they're the first team to do that since Newcastle.
Yeah.
Nice.
In 2003? Two or three, yeah.
It was, yeah.
But that was the second group stage.
In fact, I think it was 2002-03 season.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
The second group stage.
Oh, no.
Do no miss that.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right, Luke Moore, let's have some Betway's 4 to score.
Yes, 4 to score, Betway. We're participating in that every week. It's Betway's free game. All you need to do is pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches each round. And if you're correct, you can win up to £50,000 this week. You head to betway.com/4to score. That's /4 and then to score. And make your selections, but make sure you do that before the first game starts and further T's and C's apply. So we have a game each and we try and pick the first goal scorer in each game. Jim traditionally goes first. He's the curtain raiser.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get him out of the way.
Yeah.
So, Jim, you're like the guy who starts us off in the relay. It's the first and the last legs are the most important.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so you've got you first and Marcus last. You've got Southampton v West Ham. I think I know where you're going with this.
Yes. I talked him up on Monday night, on the show on Monday. So I'm going to go for Danny Ings. He's in very, very good form. Southampton are at home. West Ham are fairly patchy on the road. So I think that's a fairly safe bet. Obviously, it doesn't always work like that, but I'm going to back him because I backed him earlier in the week.
And I'll still back him now. Peter, Jim's talking about Ings. Who are you talking about? Man United, Everton.
I was having a bit of trouble with my computer, but we're back in the room.
Would you like me to tell you who you've gone for?
Sigurdsson.
Correct, Gylfi Sigurdsson.
I was trying to log into my computer, couldn't remember the password, and then I realised it didn't have a password. Why is it asking me for a password then?
Yeah.
Stupid computer.
We'll have the airing of grievances in the office later, as we normally do.
Just call me Mr. Robot the Hacker. It doesn't have a bloody password.
Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Thank you. So yes. I want to hear from you. Wolves v Spurs. I'm going to try and dodge the Raul Jimenez bullet.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for Dele.
Dele. See, I think I'd have gone for Jimenez there because I'd be so worried about this coming in. This day. He's got in my head, Jimenez. I don't like it.
Through literally no fault of his own.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go Dele because he's been in great form, and I think there's a chance he could get a goal there.
Chances.
Marcus, you are wrapping this up by Arsenal Man City.
Yeah, you've given me an easy one here, so I've gone for Gabriel Jesus.
Out of order. Tis the season.
Yeah.
I don't choose the games. Better way choose him. I'll just chuck him. If it's the fourth game on the list, you get it, mate.
Lovely.
Yeah, so you got Gabriel Jesus.
Easy.
You'll
hurt
be
us there, Marcus.
Easy.
You've hurt us.
Marcus will be crying into his cereal when we all get him right and Kolasinac pops up with the first goal against Man City.
Bollocks,
that's Betway's 4 to Score. Go to betway.com/4 to Score. It's free to play. And the current price is now £50,000. Of course, it rolls over if no one wins it. So next week, it could be even bigger. Betway.com/4 to Score. But do bet the responsible way.
And now it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for Going for Gold.
So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you.
Time for you.
For you to play a game.
Game.
People are coming, everyone's trying. Trying to be here the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for going for
gold.
High stakes, hot babes, let's do it. I'm very hungover.
Where are the hot babes, Pete?
I don't know.
Are you talking? Are you calling us hot babes?
You're my hot babes.
Yeah.
Hello to Darren. Darren Hickey, long-suffering Barnet supporter. Ah, yeah. First clue. I was born on the 16th of August, 1981. A little bit younger than me.
It's right in our wheelhouse, that.
Stop, yeah. Michael Carrick.
No.
Stop, not Michael Alan Carrick. Smith.
No.
The one who was ruined by Ferguson.
Stop. Eric Backer.
No.
Nice.
Backer means idiot in Japanese. I have played 112 times for my country, scoring 32 goals.
Ooh. Mm. Is it centenarian? Is that how you say it?
I don't know. Stop. Harry Kewell.
No, it's not Harry Kewell.
It's actually not a bad guess. Yeah.
He would have scored more than 32,
stop.
Wouldn't he?
Stop. Probably, yeah.
Mark Viduka.
I've given you all a leetard on, haven't I?
No.
Just with the mention of
one of the worst hard ons.
It's a very aggressive hard-on that feels like it can no longer live out on former glory.
And even
very
worse,
costly.
And even worse, away hard-on.
Yeah. He's got a Woodgate on.
Terrible for the visiting fans.
Yeah.
In my career, I've played alongside Jefferson Montero, Lisa Rizzo, Benny McCarthy, Patrick Vieira, and Isco. And I've played for Real Betis, Bayern Munich, Blackburn, Manchester City, and Malaga.
Claudio Pizarro is older than that. Damn it all.
Roque Santa Cruz.
Oh. It's Roque Santa Cruz!
Yeah! 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 I was thinking it's got to be. The relief, Jim.
Yeah. I gave you that.
You did.
I think you mentioned him last week.
Lord.
Roque Santa Claus.
Thank you very much to Darren Hickey.
Former winner, unofficially, of the, at one point, certainly as far as this show is concerned, the most handsome man in football.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done a revisit of the Premier League's toughest managers since Big Dunk, and help me out here.
Because it's Big Dunk.
Someone else came in as well, who's also
easy,
hard.
We've got to do it on Monday. Comparison, whoever it is.
Yeah,
maybe we'll do it on Monday.
Yeah.
But it's Big Dunk.
Mm.
Come on, Marcus. Let's not ruin it.
I think we should.
We've got
to
show our working, haven't we? Mm.
Yeah.
Well, we actually got an email about that. Kieran says with Big Dunk and Nigel Pearson.
Pearson, of course.
Back in managerial climbs. I was wondering if we could return to the familiar troop. Ramble trope of ranking the current Premier League managers based on how hard they are. Chris Wilder has almost certainly glassed someone in a car park around the back of a pub.
Wilder card.
And a lot hinges on who West Ham get after booting Manuel Pellegrini out of the club, a.k.a. Audrey Roberts from Corrie.
Yeah. That's a terrible reference, that.
Mm. Dean Smith, really Freddie Ljungberg, Graham Potter, any thoughts on them?
Ljungberg, no.
Ljungberg's got a kid.
Dean Smith,
I've seen
nice.
Him. I've seen the red mist descend with Ljungberg on the field.
That was his hair.
What about Frankie Lampard?
He's solid, isn't he? He's like solid.
Yeah. He'll go the distance, but he's not gonna. He's not
gonna
win.
Flashy.
It's between Pearson and Ferguson, and it might be the unstoppable force against the immovable object. Just go on forever.
Dude, who would you like to? So you picture this, right? It's Christmas, so maybe you're in the pub and you're having a beer at the end of the bar, and you've caught the eye accidentally of a guy at the end of the bar who looks a little bit feisty, and he's pissed, and he's flipped.
Oh,
and you know he's coming for you.
Would
you rather that be Nigel Pearson or Duncan Ferguson?
That's a good question.
Pearson, actually.
I would rather instantly
straight
Pearson.
Away. Yeah.
So that answers your question.
I'm
going to
get an absolute panel in.
but you might survive.
Yeah, exactly.
Pearson's, I would say, a bit more gentlemanly and old school. Duncan Ferguson will do anything to kill you.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll be battered. I'll be upset. I'll be hurt once Pearson's given me a kick in. Mm. But I think, like, if it's Ferguson, I'll be disfigured. Afterwards,
yeah, Duncan Ferguson would have. I'm not going to say what I said. Good,
Marcus. Marcus, question
it involved
for you.
A chair leg.
Question: if you just to sort of take it on another sex, I'll put this particularly at you.
Oh, cool.
Are you an ostrich?
Yes. And that's my Matthew McConaughey impression to end the show.
That sounds like Sean Connery.
Yeah. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway. I'm back tomorrow with Jonathan Wilson for the Greatest Games in association with the Blizzard. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thanks.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
All right, all right, all right.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Cheers.
See you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production.
I got your Stakhanov production right here, motherfucker!
Naughty.